You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, have you ever decided to do something, you told other people you were going to do it, and then you tried and tried, but you could not do it? Kind of a frustrating situation. It can leave us embarrassed, and it can cause other people to ridicule us, saying, well, you said you would do it, and now go ahead and do it already, but yet we can't. Sometimes that can happen. Well, today, we're going to come to two ways in order to avoid embarrassment and to avoid ridicule. So we'll be coming to those today. We find ourselves in Mark chapter 9, and we are partway through the chapter, and we have to think real quick here about what happened just before this section. So Jesus has been up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. He was transfigured there. So that was that real powerful way where he showed them, hey, I'm not just a man, because he shone as bright as the sun. And now Jesus is coming down off the mountain along with Peter, James, and John. And that takes us right into our text. So it says, and when they came to the other disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you scribes arguing about with my disciples? That was the question Jesus asked them. What are you scribes arguing about with my disciples? Did Jesus know what was going on? By all means, he certainly knew. But I think what he saw here was what we might call a teachable moment. So he wanted to ask questions. He wanted to proceed slowly. He wanted everyone there to grasp what was going on so they could understand and so they could benefit. Picking up in verse 17, the Bible says, and someone from the crowd answered Jesus. So Jesus asked the question of the scribes, but the scribes were not willing to answer, so someone else in the crowd spoke up to explain. He said, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. In other words, his body stiffens up. So I asked your disciples to cast the demon out, and they were not able. So Jesus answered them, the Bible says. Jesus answered them. Who's he talking to here? I believe he's talking to everyone. So he's talking to the scribes. He's talking to the crowd in general. He's even talking to his disciples. And what did he say to them? He said, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to put up with you? Bring him, bring the boy to me. Those are pretty strong words, aren't they? Calling them a faithless generation. We're going to come to the topic of faith today, and I want you to think about faith in a couple different ways. First of all, let's know that all faith has an object. So some people say they have faith, but their faith has no object, and that's not even faith. But true faith has an object, so the most important object of our faith is Jesus Christ for eternal life. Now, some people might trust in Jesus for physical healing, and that's good, but most important is to trust in him for eternal life. We're going to find out in this section that when it comes to the disciples, I believe they were trusting in Jesus for eternal life, but the problem is, when it came to casting out the demon, they were not trusting in Jesus. They were trusting in themselves, and it just did not work. But does it make sense, though, that they should have been able to cast out the demon? It does, because actually over in Matthew chapter 10, it says that Jesus gave his 12 disciples authority over unclean spirits. So Jesus authorized them to do it, and in reality, they had done it a number of times. But think about it like this, so. Let's say you're going to do something really hard, so you don't have the confidence to do it. You're not trusting in yourself, but maybe you have confidence in God, or you have confidence in someone else that they're going to help you through. But after you do it enough times, though, then you're like, hey, I think I've got this. I think I can do it now. I think that's what happened here with the disciples. So initially, trusting in God, God is working through them, demons are being cast out. But now, though, they've developed confidence in self, no longer trusting in God. They try to cast out the demon, and they can't. So it's a good lesson for them to learn, and something we should learn, too. And then going further in the text, verse 20, it says, and they brought the boy to Jesus. And when the spirit, that would be the demon, within the boy, saw Jesus, immediately it shook the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Now, some people might have said, well, he just had epilepsy, and that's a normal reaction. But if you think about it, though, it was like the moment the demon saw Jesus, it was right then, that's when he did what he did. So it all lines up that it was the demon showing hatred for Jesus and basically saying, I'm going to make this boy as miserable as I can right in front of Jesus. It's got to be what's happening there. And then picking up in 21, it goes on here and says, Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has this been happening? And he said, from childhood, and it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. Now, we might say, why would Jesus even ask that? Why didn't he just cast out the demon right that very moment? But it kind of seems, though, again, we're talking here about a teachable moment. So Jesus, I think, is reminding the Father about the severity of the situation of his son. In other words, he's had this demon for quite a while now. Probably many people have tried to get rid of the demon, and they could not do it. And not only does Jesus want the Father to think about this, he wants the entire crowd to understand what a huge problem this is, and no one else has been able to help. You might notice also, too, what was the demon trying to do? Trying to throw the boy into fire. Why? To burn him up, to kill him. He's trying to throw him into water. Why? To drown him, to kill him. So the devil wants to devour us. He wants to destroy us. He was trying to do that with the boy, but God did not permit it. Maybe we could think about the book of Job, how God let Job go through like horrible things, but God would not permit the devil to kill him, to destroy him. Maybe that's a little bit what we have going on here too with the boy. So what about the devil in our lives? What does the devil want to do? He would love to physically put us to death, but even more, the devil would like to drive a big wedge between us and Jesus Christ. When the devil gets us separated from Christ, then he has accomplished the greatest thing. If the devil came and put us to death, but we died in Christ, he would be the loser. But if he can get us away from Christ, then he is the winner. So he's trying to do that in all kinds of different ways. God is saying, be on the watch for him. Going further in the text then, the Father said to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Why would the Father say, if you can? Think about what he has probably been through for a number of years. So he loved his boy. He wanted him to be rid of the demon. So he probably went to one person. He could do nothing for him. Maybe he traveled to a faraway place thinking maybe that guy there can help him. Nothing happened. Now he has the very disciples of Jesus and they can't do anything either. So he's getting pretty disheartened about the whole thing. So when even Jesus himself comes on the scene, he's probably thinking, well, if you can do something, please help me. So he's a little bit hesitant because he's tried and tried and tried, and it just has not worked out. That's what we have going on here. So what does Jesus do? Jesus wants to build him up. He wants to encourage him. So he says to him, all things are possible for one who believes. In other words, when we believe, then we are trusting in the Almighty God, and we're like tapping into the power of God. Like earlier, when I plugged in the fan, we were tapping into the electrical source in that outlet in order to make the fan work, to give us air. So when we trust in God, when we pray to God, we are tapping into the power of God. Isn't it much better to live life with power than live life powerless and vulnerable to the attacks of the forces of evil? By all means. And then the text continues in verse 24. It says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. So the father wanted his son to be better. So really what he did is he shouted out a prayer. He was saying, Jesus, strengthen my faith. That's what he was asking for. And the good news is that Jesus heard that prayer, and Jesus wanted to answer that prayer. And in fact, he did answer that prayer. So going on in the text then, it says, and when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and shaking him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. What is the situation? Let's say we had someone in the worship area today, and they were maybe like heckling the pastor and just causing a lot of disruption. So that's why we have our ushers in the back. We would have them come in and grab a hold of the person. We would say that maybe a person like that who didn't go quietly, he went out kicking and screaming, but he's out. Well, that's kind of like the demon here. The demon thought, yeah, I know I have to go. Jesus, the Son of God, told me I have to go, so I know I have to go, but I'm not going to go quietly. And that's what he did here in this situation. And then it says, though people thought the child was dead, it says that Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When we think about someone being healed in today's world, you know, we have medication, we have doctors, we have surgery, we have even various forms of Eastern medicine. But with all the different things, though, it takes time for it to work. Those are all blessings, though, from God. Even if it takes time, we're willing to wait because we are in need. But when God heals, though, God heals just like that. So there's no delay here. So immediately the demon was gone. Immediately the boy is up. He's strong. He's healthy. He's cured. So all glory goes to God. God is the one who did it, no doubt about it. And then finally, it says here at the end of our text, when Jesus had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast the demon out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. So Jesus did refer to this kind of demon. So there must be different kinds, and this was a particularly tough demon, kind of like they say sometimes, a tough nut to crack. So that was true of that demon, but yet the bigger problem here was the fact that they were trying to do it in their own strength. This is what should have happened. They try to cast it out, and they can't. What should they have done right away? They should have said, hey, guys, we're trying to do this on our own. Let's go to God right now in prayer. Let's tap into his power, and then God's going to work through us, and the demon's going to be cast out. That's what they should have done, but they tried to do it in their own strength, and it just didn't work. Jesus wanted them to know that. So as we think about living our Christian lives, God is saying to us, always trust in my Son for eternal life. That is most important. That way we have forgiveness, salvation, all of that. But then as we go through life, no matter what it is, we should be trusting in God to guide us, to help us, to strengthen us, to carry us through. So our confidence in Christ for eternal life, in God our Father, for every issue of life. And then, whenever we have a need, what should we do? Try our best to work it out on our own? That's not the idea. God is saying, hey, I'm here for you. I love you. I'm your heavenly Father. So cry out to me in prayer. Tap into me for the power to help you in that time of need. So those are some of the things that we can learn and benefit from in this particular reading. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us faith in your Son for eternal life. Even now as we go through life, keep us trusting in him. Keep us tapped into your power, dear Father, to carry us through every issue of life. And whenever we have a need, help us to always go to you first as a first resort, knowing that you are there for us and knowing that you will come to our rescue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.